BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on this Friday News Roundup today. A lot of stories that have been compiled. Lori Gotz has been very busy gathering them and getting them ready for the broadcast today. And Rebecca's on the lines here today, and Justin, the control room, and thankful for our team here at VCY America. Let's go to the headlines here today, and perhaps some stories that didn't make the national news as much as some of them should have, but certainly to keep you informed on critical issues. We have coming to us, this one came from Yahoo News, but it's regarding, from Jerusalem, Israelis stopped their cars and stood still, often with heads bowed, for 2 minutes yesterday for the country's annual commemoration of the 6 million Jewish victims of the Nazi Holocaust. Sirens rang out nationwide during the commemoration, while pedestrians and drivers in Jerusalem, the bustling seaside city of Tel Aviv, and elsewhere stood on roadsides and in the middle of the streets in silence. The Washington Free Beacon says that Israel observed this Holocaust Remembrance Day. It began Wednesday night, lasted until sundown Thursday. The occasion is time for everyone, not just Israelis, but to remember humanity's darkest chapter, to go beyond platitudes and really reflect on what happened, the standing cells at Auschwitz. Tiny areas, less than a square yard. Envision this, folks. Less than a square yard in which four people would be held, and sitting was impossible. The prisoners would stay like that for days, leaving the cells to work a full day of hard labor, only to return at night and be forced to stand. Many would die of exhaustion in the holdings, each of which had one tiny opening to let enough air to prevent the prisoners from suffocating. Remembering the Holocaust is especially important this year amid a global rise in anti-Semitism. Breitbart says that the first ever U.S. government delegation to the March of the Living annual Holocaust Memorial arrived at Auschwitz on a somber Thursday morning, bringing several ambassadors and envoys in a show of solidarity against anti-Semitism. I couldn't be more proud of the unprecedented commitment of this administration to fight against anti-Semitism, said U.S. Special Envoy to Combat and Monitor Anti-Semitism, Elon Carr, told reporters outside the infamous concentration camp. There is no administration, no president, no secretary of state that have ever committed themselves to this extent to fight against anti-Semitism, to protect the Jewish people, and to support the state of Israel. The HeraldExtra.com reports that out of Tel Aviv, Israeli researchers reported Wednesday that violent attacks against Jews spiked significantly last year, with the largest reported number of Jews killed in anti-Semitic acts in decades, leading to increasing sense of emergency among Jewish communities worldwide. We also have from Pamela Geller. Jews are unquestionably the most targeted group for hate crimes in Canada. However, instead of proposing a plan to combat anti-Semitism and to protect Canadian Jews, Prime Minister Michael Trudeau continues to focus on fighting against Islamophobia. Under Prime Minister Trudeau, Canada has become much less safe for Jews, she reports. And the College Fix tells us that faculty at the nation's largest Catholic university voted Wednesday to condemn the pro-Israel views expressed by a black professor in a recent op-ed for the Federalist. The DePaul University Faculty Council passed a resolution condemning the contents of the article written by Jason Hill, tenured member of the philosophy department. The vote 21-10 with amendments, according to the DePaulia. And the article goes on to tell us, in the Federalist article, the moral case for Israel annexing the West Bank and beyond, Hill defended Israel's rights to annex the highly contested land for a plethora of reasons and emphasized the importance of the United States as a key ally to Israel, especially militarily. However, that didn't sit well with the DePaul University Faculty Council and voted 21 to 10 to condemn their colleagues' pro-Israeli views. From Breaking Christian News, Israel's UN ambassador Danny Dannon used the Bible to defend the Jewish people's claim to the land of Israel during a special session at the United Nations Security Council on Monday. Dannon was asked with the tasked with the job of proving the case for the Jews' connection to the Holy Land during the session. In a dramatic moment, Dannon opened the Bible and read aloud God's covenant with Abraham from Genesis 17, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout all generations for an everlasting covenant, and I will give to you that you and your descendants and after all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Dannon then raised up the Bible, turned to the attendees, and said, "This is the deed to our land." From FoxNews.com, the New York Times has issued a correction about an article that they ran alleging that Jesus was a Palestinian and not Jewish. The op-ed was titled, "As a Black Child in Los Angeles, I Couldn't Understand Why Jesus Had Blue Eyes." And it read, "Jesus, born in Bethlehem, was most likely a Palestinian man with dark skin." The New York Times issued the correction 1 week after it ran the story and received a barrage of criticism. But it's not only that, but this very anti-Semitic cartoon that they ran as well, showing the Prime Minister of Israel as a dog and President Trump holding onto a leash around that dog's neck and leading that dog, out for a walk as if the dog is leading the president. The New York Times editorial board has now blamed President Donald Trump for the paper's decision to publish this anti-Semitic cartoon, reports the Daily Caller. The paper's editorial board said in a Tuesday editorial that the president's failure to stop a rise in anti-Semitism played a part in the image that came to be published in the pages. Can you believe this? They are blaming President Trump for his failure to stop anti-Semitism. And day after day after day, you see the attacks that are coming forth. Can you imagine if the New York Times cartoon had depicted Israel's prime minister as a dog, instead depicted some leader of another ethnic or gender group in a similar manner? That reports the Gatestone Institute. Gatestone says it would be inconceivable for a Times editor to have allowed the portrayal of a Muslim leader as a dog or the leader of any other ethnic or gender group in such a dehumanizing manner. LifeSiteNews.com tells us the Trump administration has finalized another set of administrative protections for religious Americans' conscience rights on a range of fronts. President Trump announced yesterday morning during remarks to observe the National Day of Prayer. He said every citizen had the absolute right to live according to the teachings of their faith and the convictions of their heart. This was at a White House Rose Garden ceremony. "This is a bedrock of American life," he said. "To protect this heritage, my administration has strongly defended religious liberty. Two words you haven't heard much about for a long period of time, but now you're hearing it all the time, religious liberty." Well, according to a press release from the Department of Health and Human Services, the final rule ensures that HHS implements the full set of tools appropriate for enforcing laws that exempt healthcare workers from having to provide, participate in, pay for, provide coverage of, or refer for services such as abortion, sterilization, or assisted suicide. It also clarifies what covered entities need to do to comply with applicable conscience provisions, requires applicants for HHS federal financial assistance to provide assurances and certifications of compliance, and specifies compliance obligations for covered entities. Dr. David Stevens from the Christian Medical Association, they're a 19,000 member Christian Medical Association. They are the largest national association of faith-based doctors. They have lauded this conscience law enforcement rule finalized by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Dr. David Stevens said, quote, "Our patients need to know that we as doctors can be trusted to conscientiously adhere to objective ethical standards and moral commitments that serve to protect them. They need to know we are not going to lay aside longstanding ethical norms and medical concerns just because ideologically driven politicians or bureaucrats or hospital administrators might pressure us to do so by threatening our ability to practice medicine." LifeSiteNews.com tells us that Planned Parenthood will no longer be able to operate sex ed classes in Iowa public schools if Republican Governor Kim Reynolds signs budget legislation approved over the weekend by the state legislature. The Health and Human Services budget bill excludes any organization involved in abortions from receiving state sex ed grants, the Des Moines Register reports. The change stands to deprive Planned Parenthood of the heartland of just over $260,000, $250,000. From BuzzFeed News, Cecile Richards is, you know her as the former head of Planned Parenthood, starting a new political organization now and linking back up with Planned Parenthood. Indeed, Richards is co-founding the group called Supermajority with Alicia Garza, a co-founder of Black Lives Matter, and Ai-Jin Poo, the director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. They will officially launch the new organization. And one of the main goals of this group is to create a Women's New Deal for gender equality, the co-founder said, an agenda that their members can push candidates and legislators to adopt. Richards told BuzzFeed News that the supermajority was not connected to changes in Planned Parenthood's political work. In fact, she said she reached out directly to Wen at Planned Parenthood, asking if Planned Parenthood wanted to be involved in supermajority. And guess what? Wen said yes. There is other news going on the life issue. A Wisconsin Democratic leader slammed a bill to protect newborns from infanticide this week, arguing that it's selfish to provide medical care to a disabled baby who survives an abortion. Nancy Stensel, chair of the Democratic Party of Marathon County, told WSA, I believe it's W News, that she opposes a state bill that would require doctors to provide basic medical care to an infant who survives an abortion. She also defended discriminating against newborns with disabilities. Stensel said, quote, if something is drastically wrong with her child, it's selfish to have it live just for the sake of living. Pro-abortion Democrats have argued that the bill is not necessary because babies do not survive abortions. Others said it will wrongly punish doctors by forcing them to provide medical care for newborns. Democratic Governor Tony Evers says that he will veto the legislation if this baby's born alive after an attempt to kill it, an abortion, if it survives. There is legislation designed to protect that baby. Governor Evers said he will veto the legislation. The Kansas Supreme Court ruled April 26th that under the state's constitution, women have a right to abort their babies. In a 6-1 decision, the state high court declared, quote, we hold today that Section 1 of the Kansas Constitution Bill of Rights protects all Kansas' natural right of personal autonomy, which includes the right to control one's own body, to assert bodily integrity, and to exercise self-determination. This right allows a woman to make her own decisions regarding her body, health, family formation, and family life, decisions that can include whether to continue a pregnancy. Somehow, some way, the Kansas Supreme Court found in their state constitution a right to kill your baby by means of abortion. We're going to take a quick break, and folks, when we come back, you've got to hear it. You've got to hear it as a lawmaker is defending aborting babies, saying some kids are unwanted, either you kill them now or kill them later. You'll hear about it after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are we making any progress with a creationist view of the unborn?
Yes, it seems we are, Chris, although there's positive and negative steps being taken. More and more people are being educated on the personhood of the unborn child and the need to protect it. Even efforts to clone humans are helping in the sense that there's much scientific evidence now for the unique personhood of the fertilized egg. Unfortunately, this doesn't always carry the day with legislatures and judges, for they often rule that such a person has no individual rights and can be aborted. We yearn for a day when even the courts go back to Genesis for their thinking.
Thank you, Dr. John.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, a Friday News Roundup day today. As so many stories coming together here to give you an overview of many of the things taking place in our society today, and certainly, I trust, burdens your heart to be in more fervent prayer for this nation, for the condition of our churches, the condition of our families, and certainly to be the salt and light that God has called us to be. We continue on with this story that is just amazing. It's outrageous. A Democrat, and LifeNews.com has a story. A Democrat state legislator in Alabama was caught on video making some horrific comments defending abortions, especially on babies diagnosed with Down syndrome. The comments came as America is in the middle of a heated abortion debate. The state house passed a pro-life bill this week that would ban all abortions and make abortion a felony, putting abortion practitioners responsible for killing unborn children in prison. But state Democratic Representative John Rogers of Birmingham spoke out against the bill and is now facing massive criticism over his very insensitive remarks, where he said some kids are unwanted, and so you kill them now or you kill them later. He said it ought to be a woman's choice. It's not about to be a man and tell a woman what to do with her body. She has a right to make her decisions herself. Some kids are unwanted, so you kill them now or you kill them later. You bring them in the world unloved, unwanted. You send them to the electric chair, so you kill them now or you kill them later. I want you to hear the clip. I want you to hear what this legislator had to say.
All I'm saying to you, it ought to be a woman's choice. I'm not about to be, as a male, tell a woman what to do with her body. She has the right to make that decision herself. Directly, he said. Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now, I kill them later. You bring them in the world unwanted, unloved. Then you send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now, I kill them later. But the bottom line is that I think we shouldn't be making this decision.
Isn't that something? Bottom line, we shouldn't be making these decisions. Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now or you kill them later. You bring them in the world unwanted, unloved. You send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now or you kill them later. Ladies and gentlemen, he continued by saying that some children may be aborted because they are retarded and half deformed. Some parents can't handle a child with problems, he said. It could be retarded. It could have no arms and no legs. Alabama Senate Majority Leader Republican Greg Reed issued a statement in response saying, quote, Representative Rogers' remarks are chilling. Kill them now or kill them later. His comments should be condemned at the state and at the national level. Friends, it's not often that we'll give the phone number to an individual representative, but in this case, I'm going to do that. The comments are so egregious, and certainly you have the right to connect with him and to share your views on the issue, but please do so in a respectful manner as far as not being abusive in your own speech and demeanor. The phone number to Representative John Rogers' office is 334-261-0387. That's 334-261-0387. One day, every legislator is going to be standing before the true judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Alabama House of Representatives did go on and pass a bill. The bill passed Tuesday would make it a Class A felony punishable by life or 10 to 99 years in prison for doctors to perform an abortion, according to the Montgomery Advertiser. Mothers would not be punished for seeking an abortion. The bill still needs to pass in the Senate, receive the signature of the Alabama Governor, Kay Ivey, before this could become law. From LifeSiteNews.com, U.S. pro-life leaders are joining forces to hold a simultaneous national protest this month against America's largest waste hauler for repeatedly being caught helping Planned Parenthood dispose of the bodies of aborted babies, even though the waste hauler denies any involvement. Citizens for a Pro-Life Society created Equal and Pro-Life Action League are organizing a major protest at the Stericycle annual stockholders meeting that's near Chicago Wednesday, May 22nd, with concurrent protest at Stericycle locations around the United States. From LifeNews.com, Louisiana Senate committee passes a bill banning abortions when unborn baby's heartbeat begins. This happened Tuesday of this week, and a bill that would be going before their pro-life Democratic governor, John Bel Edwards, who is likely to sign this into law. LifeSiteNews.com tells us about the manipulation that's going on into thinking that killing sick kids is now okay. There's a new term, a new and especially insidious term that's being brought about. It's called mature minor. And you might ask, what is a mature minor? Why is this term so suddenly trendy? Well, the term mature minor has only been coined in order to enable suicide activists to advocate for offering suicide to children without it sounding like they are, you know, offering suicide to children. So they call them mature minors instead. This cropped up most recently in Australia, where civil libertarians led by Queensland Council for Civil Liberties President Michael Cope said suicide should be offered to children who were mature minors. He defined a mature minor as a child over 12 years of age who has a sufficient understanding and intelligence to enable him or her to understand fully what is proposed. Mature minors, folks. Mark those words. You're going to be hearing them more frequently. LifeNews.com tells us a Canadian doctor has committed thousands of homicides in 2018. According to an interim report published by the government, in the first 10 months of last year, doctors lethally injected 2,613 patients with one assisted suicide. And that doesn't include the homicides committed by doctors in Quebec, Northwest Territories, Yukon, and other locations. This means well over 3,000 people are killed by their doctors each year in Canada, more than 250 a month, more than 58 a week, more than 8 per day. That's about 1 every 3 hours that are euthanized in Canada. LifeSiteNews.com, a 64-year-old woman with lung cancer is allegedly at risk of being euthanized by a Minnesota hospital despite having stated emphatically from her hospital bed in a video that is now going viral that she wants to live. I watched this video. It's amazing, folks. LifeSiteNews.com, you can find it there. A hospital representative had apparently asked Katie Cassidy if she wanted to pull the plug. I said no, Cassidy exclaimed, recounting the exchange in a video. I want to live, she said a little later. The hospital had planned to withdraw her oxygen Wednesday morning, according to Life Legal Defense Foundation, which would result in her death by suffocation. Their executive director, Alexandra Snyder, told LifeSite News that Cassidy's heartbeat or healthcare proxy was to meet with the hospital at 11 o'clock that morning, and specifics were still forthcoming. We're still waiting to see what's going to happen. But to see that they were going to pull her oxygen, that which keeps her alive, or she would suffocate, and you can hear the 64-year-old woman with lung cancer saying that she wants to live. And when asked if they should pull the plug, she said, I said no, I want to live. LifeNews.com tells us a Texas legislative committee has passed pro-life legislation that would overturn the rule that the state currently has that essentially allows hospitals to euthanize patients after a 10-day notification. The Texas Senate Committee on Health and Human Services voted Senate Bill 2089 out of committee by a vote of 5-2. This priority pro-life bill by Senator Brian Hughes would repeal the unethical 10-day rule, which allows hospitals to pull the plug on patients against their will. And we keep hearing, you know, these children who survive abortion attempts that it just doesn't happen. Well, this is a story that came to us from CNSNews.com. The number of babies aborted at a gestational age of 21 weeks or later in New York City in 2015, and we're also told about that, you know, these late-term abortions just don't happen, and this story is more appropriate to that topic. Late-term abortions, you know, after 21 weeks, they just don't happen. Well, in New York City in 2015, the number of babies aborted at a gestational age of 21 weeks or later outnumbered homicide victims in that city that year by 1,485 to 352, according to the latest abortion data available. From the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the homicide data for that city published by the New York Police Department and the FBI, while there is approximately 0.96 people per day victimized by murder and non-negligent manslaughter in New York City in 2015, there were approximately 4.1 babies at 21 weeks gestational age or older who were aborted per day in that same city. On another topic here from the Hill, President Trump today spoke by phone with Russian President Vladimir Putin in their first known conversation since the release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders told reporters that Mueller's report on Moscow's interference in the 2016 election came up very, very briefly during the call. Their call was more than an hour in length. FoxNews.com, President Trump last Friday said that his administration is withdrawing the U.S. signature from the U.N. Arms Trade Treaty in response to concerns from gun rights activists that it would impinge on Americans' right to bear arms. By taking these actions, he said, we are reaffirming that American liberty is sacred and that American citizens live by American laws, not by laws of foreign countries. The Daily Caller, the Senate confirmed President Donald Trump's 100th judicial nominee yesterday, passing a symbolic threshold meant to signal the GOP's determined push to staff the federal judiciary with a conservative jurist. As of this writing, which occurred on May 2nd, the president had appointed 102 judges to the federal bench. That total includes 63 trial judges, 37 appeals judges, and two Supreme Court justices. BarbedWire.com has a story of Kevin Michael Shipp. He is a former decorated member of the CIA. His work centered on counterterrorism, counterespionage, interrogation, and internal investigations. He received 6 awards for his work with the CIA, but he was recently interviewed, and during that interview, he warned the American people to arm themselves. Shipp says that the left is becoming more violent. He expects the next 2 years to be especially violent, which is why he is telling the American people to be ready to defend themselves. But he warned that many people will be the victims of beatings and that there will be more and more shootings, including shootings at law enforcement personnel. That's quite a statement from a former CIA agent. Leo Holman writes, Democrats in Minnesota want to create a statewide task force on Islamophobia and anti-Semitism that would be stacked with people devoted to Islamic doctrines calling for more anti-Semitism. The task force, if approved by the legislature, would be chaired by none other than Muslim Attorney General Keith Ellison or someone appointed by Ellison. A remarkable story coming to us out of Philadelphia. We think of jihadist indoctrination of school children as an evil that takes place in Iran, Gaza, or Yemen. We've seen the scenes of young children praising violence and committing to war against non-Muslims from the Middle East. Well, Robert Spencer at Jihad Watch tells us about children in Philadelphia. This is at a Muslim school. The Sing a Song of Blood of the Martyrs. Blood of the Martyrs. And singing the words to the song. The blood of martyrs is calling us, paradise men desire it, revolutionaries, revolutionary, sword and text, O free men. Children hold up copies of the Quran, until we liberate our lands, until we reach our anchorages and crush the traitor, O the winds of paradise, O the martyrs lads, my Islam calls whoever responds, stand up, O righteous ones. Back in a minute, this is Crosstalk.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5, or 5 copies for a donation of $18, 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, Friday News Roundup. We'll be opening phone lines here in just a short time. Just a couple more things I'd like to share with you today. From WND.com, interesting story. Franklin Graham, he is the CEO at Samaritan's Purse, is calling on President Trump to designate the Council on American Islamic Relations a terrorist organization. CARE, which is an unindicted co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation terror financing case, already has been given that designation by the United Arab Emirates, and continued pressure is coming upon the Trump administration to list CARE, this so-called civil rights group, to designate them as a terrorist organization. From FoxNews.com, former Minneapolis police officer Mohammed Noor found guilty by a jury Tuesday in the 2017 death of Justine Damond, an unarmed woman who was fatally shot shortly after she called 911 to report a possible rape. The former officer was found guilty of third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. He was taken straight from the courtroom into the custody of the Hennepin County Sheriff's Department, his sentencing scheduled then for June the 7th. I don't even know how to report this, but here we go again. This one from WND.com, a female Olympian condemned powerlifter, Mary Gregory, is a man who identifies as a woman after he broke 4 women's world records in one day at a RAW powerlifting federation event. Former British Olympic swimmer Sharon Davies spotlighted in a tweet the unfair playing field, saying, quote, "This is a trans woman in a male body with male physiology setting a world record and winning a women's event in America in powerlifting. A woman with female biology cannot compete. It's a pointless, unfair playing field." Well, Gregory broke women's records on Saturday in Masters World Squat, Open World Bench Press, Masters World Deadlift, and Masters World Total. Gregory thanked the RAW Powerlifting Federation in a post on Instagram. "What a day. 9 for 9. Masters World Squat record, Open World Bench record, Masters World record, and Masters World Total record. As a transgender lifter, I was unsure what to expect going into this meet, and everyone, all the spotters, loaders, referees, staff, meet director, all made me welcome and treated me just as just another female lifter. Thank you." You can see a picture at 4WinsUSA.com. As a transgender Mary Gregory set Masters World Records in women's powerlifting at an event, and this would be one identifying as a woman that is biologically male. From FoxNews.com, attorneys sued Wisconsin and Illinois Wednesday over laws that forbid transgender individuals from changing their names if they have certain criminal convictions. Both federal lawsuits argue that the states are violating free speech rights and are preventing people from expressing how they identify themselves. "It's an issue of equality and equal participation in society," said Lark Mulligan, an attorney who filed the Illinois lawsuit. Mulligan is a transgender woman, the article says. Cook County, Illinois, and Kenosha County, Wisconsin are listed as defendants in the lawsuit. They seek to stop the states from enforcing their laws. In Wisconsin, registered sex offenders are forbidden to change their names and face up to 6 years in prison if they do. Democrats in Massachusetts, this is Todd Starnes. Democrats in Massachusetts are well on their way to removing God from the oath of office. At least 14 Democrats, mostly freshman lawmakers, introduced a bill to amend the state constitution. Instead of saying, "So help me God," elected leaders would say, "This I do under the pains and penalties of perjury." The measure has already been approved by a powerful legislative committee, and Bay State atheists are overjoyed. Todd says they're downright giddy. They believed an oath to God violates the Establishment Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The Zachary Boss, the state director for American Atheists, told the Meadville Tribune, quote, "We support any move that helps to increase the government's commitment to secularism." Republicans and conservatives are dumbfounded by the move, calling it a cynical attempt to erase the state's rich legacy of faith. Let's open our phone lines today. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event news stories, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. That's the number to Crosstalk today. We've covered many, many issues. Maybe you want to comment about the lawmaker from Alabama who says kill them now or kill them later. How did that hit you? How did that hit you when he stated that and talked about children who would be retarded? That's his word. There are states that are banning use of that word, and yet the lawmaker, that's what came forth from his lips in that regard. Maybe you want to talk about the issue that's going on with men identifying as women, taking away the records that have been held by women in their individual sports. That certainly has become an issue as well. We also have issues that are going on pertaining to the right of conscience that President Trump declared yesterday. And certainly we remember the Holocaust as well. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, taking your calls today. We're going to begin in the state of Missouri. We have Benjamin calling. Benjamin, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling in. You brought up the homosexuality movie, and it got me thinking about that new candidate for a Democrat, Pete Buttigieg, and he's an open gay man and married to a man, and I feel like it's a dangerous thing.
Okay, and why do you think that, Benjamin?
Well, I mean, it's against the Bible and against the faith that we are supposed to be following, and I just don't know what young kids are going to see this and how they're going to react.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Benjamin, thank you for calling in. Sharing the concern, we did carry a story, I believe it was last week's News Roundup or the week before, but certainly an issue that many are taking note of, and as well as the number of, we have another, I believe it was open lesbian in the city of Tampa that just became mayor there, voted in a short time ago, that just happened in Chicago in early April, also in Madison, Wisconsin. Thank you for the calls. We have Inez in Alabama, and Inez, you're on the air.
Yes. I hope I don't cry, but this is for the legislature in Alabama. He's wrong because my daughter was born on January 22nd of 73 when they passed that Roe versus Wade, but she has a daughter, and at 3 months, when you want to know if it's a boy or a girl, they found out that she had a lot of disability. Her spine, she just had one leg, one kidney, and all of that. But we have her today. She was born in 2001, and she will be 19 next month and just finished her freshman year in college by herself. So the legislature, they are wrong if they would only go see a lot of children in Alabama at UAB. They have a lot of disabilities, but they contribute to life, and God loves that.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Inez.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate your call. Let's go to Steve in Kansas, and Steve, you're on the air.
I'm a prayer fat woman, Jim. She had a lot of courage coming on saying that. But on the Democrats want to remove So Help Me God.
Yeah.
Listen to the radio station, and the gentleman said that would be okay because he thought that the power or the penalty of perjury carried more consequences than our good Lord.
Isn't that something?
You know, Jim, nothing surprises me anymore. It really doesn't shock me. I'm still hurt by things, and I have a heart for people. But nothing truly shocks you. But you know what, Jim? In the end, we know where it's all going to go to, and we know God reigns supreme. So that's where our joy and our hope lies at.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Steve. Indeed, one day every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We will all stand before him either as Savior or as Judge. David from Rome, Georgia, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you, Jim, for letting me come. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that I don't refer to Planned Parenthood as Planned Parenthood. I call them Planned Unparenthood. And also, I've argued with many people about the right of a woman to make decisions over her own body. Well, they don't realize that that is not their own body that they're killing. It's the body of a totally different person. And about half of the babies that are aborted or killed, about half of them are little women.
Yeah.
So what about their right to decide should they continue maturing and go on and be born?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. And I know that the Lord is writhing in anger at some of the things that we're doing, thinking that they're so correct.
Different blood type, David, different DNA, different fingerprints. I mean, it is a unique, special body, a human being.
Yes. Not the woman's body that she's getting rid of.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
We've got Mark in New Mexico calling. Mark, you're on the air.
Hello, sir. Yeah, it can't escape in any venue of media, whether it be TV or radio, where the commentators call our representatives, our government servants, lawmakers. Nowhere in the Constitution are they referred to as such.
No,
it just drives me nuts because it inflates their heads, I think. I'm not sure.
Mark, I mean, keep in mind, there are three branches of government, and one is called the legislative branch, and then the legislature is where they make the laws.
Right, I understand that.
Okay, that's why it's called lawmaker, because that's the branch which does that, so...
They are in the legislature, but nowhere in the Constitution are they referred to as lawmakers.
I won't argue with that comment. That's correct, but there's a lot of terms that we utilize, whether it be in the courts or the executive office. You will not find the exact word there, but that is their function.
Part of their function, yeah.
Part of it, yep.
I agree, but I mean, it's only part of it. I mean, the idiotic laws that they do every year.
I'm sorry, you cut out there, Mark.
Well, do we need all these idiotic laws every year?
No, we don't.
Thousands of dollars working on?
Yeah, good point. Thank you, Mark, for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jerry in Central Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, my comment is about the transgender athletes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to realize how serious this is until they go to the combating sports, such as martial arts or boxing. Now, a man will kill a woman. They won't realize it. I'm wondering what they would call it. They would call it murder for a true man killing a woman in an athletic sport, such as combat, martial arts, or boxing. That's as bad as hunting wolves with hunting dogs. When those hunting dogs catch up with a wolf, the wolves just tear them dogs apart, you know?
Hmm.
That could be murder by a male.
Jerry, what you're talking is that there's some vast biological differences, and one of which is everything from body mass, bone structure, lung capacity, on and on. And matter of fact, we've done some programs with Steve McConkie from Four Winds on the whole issue of transgenderism in sports, in which Steve went through many of the biological differences there, and you've pointed that out as well. Thank you so much. We're up against a break. Back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. President Donald Trump has declared April 28th to May 5th Holocaust Remembrance Week. So my friends, we're in Holocaust Remembrance Week. And yet, sadly, Over this past weekend, there has been another synagogue shooting, this time in San Diego, California, and one person has been killed. Many more would have been killed, according to news reports, if the gunman's firearm had not jammed. This, of course, follows the deadliest synagogue shooting in American history in 2018, in which 11 were murdered in their synagogue. This week, we will hold our national conference at Lake of the Ozarks, and the theme, Holocaust Horizon. We've been promoting it for a year, and we said by the time the conference arrived, this would be the big news story. And here we are. How do we know this? Because we study the trends. And this trend is going to increase, and the Bible says so. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a Friday News Roundup. Taking your calls here at Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. Just a heads up for those of you in the state of Minnesota, there's been a lot of things going on in the Minnesota legislature, in the Senate, the House. And one thing that passed is a ban on certain types of counseling in the as it pertains to action in the House, making it, matter of conversion therapy, so-called, this talk counseling, people who have unwanted same-sex attraction, giving them counsel on how to overcome that. Well, the counseling ban passed the House. It's blocked in the Senate, and we understand this is going to a conference committee here at this point. All I can say is for those of you in Minnesota, if you're not connected here with the Minnesota Family Council, we would encourage you to do so. They send out email releases as to what's going on and some of the key issues going on. And if you need to contact them to find out how do we get signed up, you can call them at 612-789-8811. Their website is mfc.org. That stands for Minnesota Family Council, mfc.org. But there's been just a number of pieces, a number of alerts coming forth out of the state of Minnesota. And if you want to stay informed on those specific issues and specific bills, please get in touch with the Minnesota Family Council. Let's go to Ken next in Farmington, Virginia. Ken, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine,
hey, thank you for your program. First of all, I appreciate it. I listen to it all the time. I just, hearing the different reports today, you're talking about the Jews and all the persecution, and, it's really sad, but it shows us the reality of what Paul was telling, the churches, each and every one of them, about persecutions increasing, men becoming evil, evil men and seducers becoming worse and worse. And, one thing of encouragement I've been looking at in the Philippian epistle, he says that in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God.
Amen.
And so we should look at all this in light of what's actually coming to pass in the development of it all, that Jesus is coming back for us sooner and sooner, and that we should continue to contend for the faith that God handed down through the Jews first and also to the Gentiles. And the issue of abortion, you know, God told his prophet Jeremiah that before he formed him in the belly, he knew him.
That's right.
And before he brought him out of the womb, he sanctified him and ordained him a prophet. What do you do with that? And the problem is unbelievers are just that. They have that evident token of perdition. They're going to hell because they do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all. And because of those actions, they're proving more and more that this is their part. They have this life. They're very selfish when they take a life of a child that's not even part of the woman's body in the first place, and they have their own blood and everything, and there's a lot of science in there that can be proven. But I always ask this question. When I talk to somebody who believes in abortion, I say, well, what if your mother aborted you? We wouldn't even be having this conversation right now.
Yeah.
And aren't you glad you're here?
Yeah.
So why don't you allow the right of some other child that could be born in the world and develop, regardless of what you may think about, like the ones with Down syndrome. I know plenty of children in the past and my life that have had issues and things, but they become a real blessing to other people because of those very handicaps.
Okay,
and I think it's very sad we're into today, but that's just my take on it.
It really is, and we are reminded in John 10 that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy,
right.
But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Thank you,
exactly
Ken.
Exactly right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. Greg in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I got two comments today. The mayor, Pete, I can never pronounce his last name correctly.
Buttigieg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he claims to be Christian and thinks it's totally acceptable to be Christian and homosexual at the same time.
Yeah.
I'd like to challenge him and any Christian that claims that homosexuality is permissible. Please show me the specific Bible verse that endorses homosexuality. There isn't any.
No, instead we find God's condemnation of those who go this way, and God's word calls it an abomination.
Yes, sir. It certainly does. And the second comment I have is on abortion, regarding folks that believe that it's okay to go ahead and have an abortion because it's a woman's body. She has a right to choose to do what she can with her own body. Well, we know that that's not true. We're not our own.
Yeah.
You know, the biblical verse that says that you're not your own, God owns us. God's in charge of us. And even if it was allowed, what about the choice that that baby has? Yeah. What about the choice that they would make? There's never been a case where, that I'm aware of, that a baby chose to die. So the fact that it's, that it's a woman's choice, no, it's a life.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate the call. Don, Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, FYI, the word Israel is located in the English Bible 2,415 times. And yes, I believe Israel's being persecuted. It's easier to identify a Jew or a minority person than it is for a born-again Christian. I think a born-again Christian is the object of persecution more than anyone else. And we don't have any signs. Well, a lot of us, we don't do the sign of a cross after we got an ace in tennis or something like that. So we're harder to detect. But as soon as we open our mouth and say, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved," they freak out. They don't want it. Romans 10:13 says that's the truth. And
thank you, Don. Appreciate it. Time is short. I've got one final call to get in, and that's Atlanta, Georgia. Leroy, you're on the air.
Jim, I just wanted to thank the Lord for Inez's testimony. The lady that called in spoke about her granddaughter.
Yes.
Of all the things I could have said, the few other callers before me said them, but for what Inez said, I want to thank the Lord for her testimony.
Amen.
I hope it touches those out there who think it's right to take the life of someone who can't decide for themselves. Yeah. I mean, why don't they just wait till they become, what's the new term now?
Yeah, it would be a minor, what was it, advanced minor, mature minor. It's pretty bizarre. I'm out of time, Leroy. Thank you for your call here as well. Friends, critical issues that we find ourselves, and as the caller pointed out, that there, as we look at the world around us, the perilous times, there are those going out to deceiving and being deceived, and evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. But friends, our hope is in the Lord, so keep your eyes upon Him. By the way, it's Friday, the Lord's Day is coming. I hope you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Thanks for joining us today and all this week here on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.